During the rise of Hitler's regime, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote a very significant book, Cost of Discipleship, or translated in the German, The Act of Following. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is the act of following. Notice that today's scripture comes after a sermon I did on character and destiny, or the Beatitudes. Significant followership. And then it is followed by an awareness that we all need to make. For we are salt and we are light. We are a part of what illumines and what brings tastiness to the world. So let's think about that for just a few moments. Salt has a purpose, and Harry did an excellent job identifying the relationship of salt to our bodies, the importance of that salt. And yes, I don't eat much salt, but my fries needed salt yesterday. And so I had to sprinkle a tiny bit on to fulfill my tastes. But as was well pointed out, too much salt can do harm to one's body. God provides in our body generally what we need. And sometimes when the body's not working right and it's lost some of what it needs, it even needs to have added to what it has. So salt is a preservative, salt is a seasoning, salt is life-giving, but it can also take away or diminish life if we're not careful. So too little salt takes us away from our purpose. Salt does not exist for itself. It exists for others. And it's interesting that the gospel writer has Jesus saying that salt that loses its saltiness, does not provide taste anymore, is like gravel which we walk over. We pay no attention. It's underfoot. It's useless. So what is our primary purpose? Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite texts, and I've quoted it over and over, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in Ephesians 1:23 says, "The church is Christ's body in which he speaks and acts." Just take that in for a moment. In which he speaks and acts. You are those through whom Jesus speaks and acts from the front door. Well, it actually begins in this room. It begins in the outer sanctum of this room, but it also begins from the front door as you get in your car, as you drive away from this place, out to your homes, your workplaces, into your neighborhoods. Are you salty? Can people taste the passion, enthusiasm of faith from you? But salt wasn't enough. Light became another element. When we lose sight of light, we lose sight of what illumines. Light does not exist for itself, but light exists for providing something we can see. And a light on the hill illumines down and provides more light into the territory that surrounds us. Now, I have a little light that helps me get from here back to the parsonage, and those steps are wonderful steps, but I don't know if anybody's ever walked them. They start narrow and they get long. The light isn't even strong enough to illumine those longer steps, so I have to kind of keep it pushing forward to illuminate what is before me with some effort. But a light on the hill shines out in a great way that we can see. On the wall out here is a button we turn and it illuminates the whole parking lot. So anybody leaving this building, if we remember that switch is there, can see their way to get to their car safely. Illumination is important. We are illuminating our lives when we welcome each other, when we listen to one another, when we share our faith with each other. We are illuminating our lives when we live out core values that are taking shape among us right now. And they're not finished, but they're in a progress of reaching a point where we're going to live by them and see what God wants to do through us, through those core values. And two of those core values are significant to illumination. To be an ever-changing culture with a never-changing gospel. You can't do that by hiding the light of Christ. Remember, we sing this little light of mine? I will let it shine. We're not going to hide it under a bushel, and we're not going to blow it out. And we emphatically, at least I was taught when I was singing in Bible school and Sunday school, to say no. How many sang that before and remember singing that with that kind of boldness? No, it's there. We know it. This little light of mine, I will let it shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. No, this little light of mine, I will let it shine. But we go on to say at the conclusion of the core values, we are known as peacemakers for living simply and for working together in support of God's creation and God's work in the world. Now, some thought maybe we shouldn't be as bold in our statements, but we believe that the core values tell us who we are and the journey we're on. It's not if we want to or we try to. It is who we are. We say it with boldness, like we sing the song, "This Little Light of Mine, I will not blow it out. I will not hide it under a bushel." No, it will illumine beyond myself. And I exist in such a way that I can be grace and mercy and love, not of my own humanity, but of God through my humanity for the world. If our neighbors and family members and world do not see the light from this place, how would they come to believe there's something important enough to be a part of here? In this place. If it doesn't shine forth into the community and our homes and our workplaces, how will they know there's another way of living? This little light of mine, I will let it shine. Salt, I will not lose its saltiness or its usefulness, because if we lose it, we are nothing. So God invites us to thrive and to be in mission and not be afraid to live God's will into the community. Now, we don't have to get that all right and perfect. Where I began my journey, entering seminary, not knowing much at all except what I learned from Sunday school and from church, and realizing there was more yet to learn. And then I began in ministry. I was so excited that day, but then I realized quickly what I didn't know, what I yet had to discover. And now, 50 plus years in ministry, I stand before you to say, I am still not a finished product. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I'm still expanding in my understanding. But you know what? Salt doesn't have to be perfectly put on the French fry to get a little bit of its taste that enhances the taste of the fry. And light doesn't have to perfectly shine. With the little light that I use to get back to the parsonage in the dark, I can allow it to move forward from me, and I can be maybe not see the whole step, but I can see enough to get down that step back into the parsonage safely. Being salt and being light are part of fulfilling the gospel, character, and destiny of the Beatitudes. We're doing that through Opal. I can't tell you the whole story because I wasn't there, But I can tell you the witness of those who were there, the excitement of two young children who came hiding behind their father's pant leg, a big sadness in their face, a frightened look in their eyes. And then tutors sat with them and brought the light, not only of knowledge, but the light of Christ to these little children. And 45 minutes, an hour later, their smiles were from ear to ear. Their confidence had grown. They felt they had been helped. They want to come back and receive the help that's here to be offered. Salt, Opal is fulfilling its purpose. Light, the people that are participating there as tutors are bringing not only knowledge, but their own faith. And it brings a smile of hopefulness. You know, it doesn't take a whole church to become vibrant and healthy, but it takes people that are a part of the church, people that are being prayed for by the church, people that are given the courage to be a light and shine forth. I remember in the book Robert Snace, Fruitful Congregations, and I would encourage you to read that book if you can get your hands on it. I know Mark has one. I don't know who else has that book here in the congregation, but it's a worthy read. But there's a story there about a couple who had went to church over and over, and they kept hearing the gospel message. And it began to stir their imagination, and they wondered, where are the homeless people in our community? So they bravely got in their car and began driving around, and they soon discovered that the homeless people were on the outskirts of town under a bridge. They didn't just drive by. They stopped by. They got out of the car and walked up to people. It was awkward. It was uncomfortable. It was uncertain. But they began to talk to people. And some of the people talked with them. So one of the questions is, what do you need? And they then went back to their congregation and told the story of what they had experienced, encountered, and said, these people need socks. Did you hear about sock ministry here this morning? About underwear, about food and batteries. So the church began to gather all of these items together, put them in boxes, and this couple then went back. And you can't imagine how the light began to illuminate to these homeless, hopeless feeling people. They helped them carry out of the trunk, out of the back seat, all of these good things that would help them meet their needs. But the couple didn't just dump it. They sat down on the ground behind these people, gathered in a circle, and they talked, and they shared, and they listened, and they discovered. And they began to hear a spiritual longing and hunger for something more to life than just purely existing. So they went back to their congregation again, and they told the story of what they were hearing and discovering, and they asked, will some brave souls join us that we might take worship to these people living under the bridge? And certainly, there were a few more people. And they put together Bibles, and they put together hymnals, and they put together things that people needed, and they went back. And they brought chairs, and they sat the chairs up, and they gathered together in a circle. And they sang together, and they prayed together, and they read scripture together. They even talked about that scripture, what it meant to them. Guess what happened? They didn't just go once. They went every month for 3 to 4 months. And then something began to happen. The community of people began to transform, and they took brooms and swept the ground, the cigarette butts and the alcohol bottles to the side. They went and helped unload the hymnals and the Bibles, working elbow to elbow with these newfound friends. The community was developing. A new church was being birthed. And they discovered that God loved them. At the 2018 National Youth Conference, There were several questions asked. How many went to National Youth Conference in 2018? So a few of you have to tell me whether this is accurate. This is from Newsline, so I believe it's pretty accurate. But the questions were, can we all agree that everyone deserves the grace of God? Can we all agree that everyone has a place with God? Can we all agree that everyone should receive the love of God? Now, I think it was in a sermon talk back here, but maybe it was a board meeting. Not sure where it was, but someone said, no one is beyond God's love. The Church of the Brethren is developing a compelling vision for our future, and there's a lot of struggle in that, and mostly around sexuality and authority of Scripture. But would it be a compelling statement to say, no one is beyond the love of God? Well, when we let salt preserve and provide taste and serve its purpose, as we serve our purpose in living out the gospel of Jesus Christ, and when we let light illuminate our way, and others begin seeing the light, and they begin understanding the answer to these wonderful, powerful questions, we become the body of Christ alive. Not by what we're giving out, because we don't exist for our own purpose. Jesus exists through us to speak and to act the good news of salvation for every living soul on this earth. So I challenge us as disciples and as a community of believers, let's be a visible community. Let's not let down the great crowd of witnesses who have gone before us. Let's stand boldly and bravely and sincerely as a bright light, as a salty taste to this community. And if we do, God's will, God's love will be fulfilled. Amen.